The Dharma, incomparably profound and exquisite, is rarely met with even in hundreds of thousands of millions of kalpas. We now can see it, hear it, accept and hold it. May we realize the true mind of the Tathagata. Today is day one of this February 2019 7-day session here at Mountain Gate in northern New Mexico on yet another snowy day. This is the second session of the new year so far here, and that's what we're about, is the deep training possibilities. And because we're relatively remote, it's not so easy to find ourselves distracted by other things that we would normally be distracted by, traffic and all kinds of other stuff if we were closer to a more populated area. Nonetheless, we have our own inner attractions. And this is something that Zen practice is working to help us move beyond. In ancient times in China, well, maybe not so ancient, but in a long time ago in China, a Zen master, Chan, he was called then, Chan Master, was asked by a student, what is the most important thing for Zen practice? And he happened to be doing calligraphy at the time, so he picked up his brush and he wrote the character for attention. And the monk was expecting something deep and profound and looked quizzically at the master and said, attention. And the master wrote again, attention. And then the student again said, oh, what do you mean, attention? And the master wrote it three times this time and said, attention means attention. Most of the time, we pay half attention. Our culture is pulling us in so many directions, and particularly now that we have so many different digital toys to play with that are always demanding our attention, always attracting our attention. And furthermore, if you read the book, what is it called? The Shallows, which is how the internet is changing our brains, you also may be dumbfounded by the fact that things are given in such literally bite-sized pieces of information, quickly flashing by and rapidly available, that people are being trained willy-nilly to not pay attention beyond a certain very short period of time. In that book, there are accounts of people who are long-standing authors who read a great deal and write a great deal and have said more recently that they have a hard time even reading very far into a book before they get distracted because they're so accustomed to these short bites of information and then move on, entertaining the mind constantly, developing, you could say, ADHD, attention deficit, and possibly attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's a disease of the modern world. There was an account not so long ago by a man who had taken his father back on a trip in the country. It was supposed to have been a real treat for his father, who had talked so many times about the travel between the farm he grew up on and the town that was relatively nearby. And so the son drove the father from the town to the farm. And the father was immensely disappointed because they whizzed down the highway to the farm. Whereas when the father was growing up and living on the farm and traveling to the town, it was by horses, horse carriage, not horse carriage, horse cart, horse wagon, horse-drawn wagons. And it was so much slower that he could actually enjoy the landscape, feel the air, experience the moment-by-moment clip-clop of the horses pulling the wagon. And it was a very different experience from flying in a metal capsule through the landscape so fast you can hardly see what's going past in the windows. And yet that's how we live these days. Much more flying past the landscape, only half aware of what's around us. And this leads to many fundamental challenges, including a great deal of misunderstanding. Not that there wasn't always misunderstanding before that, but it's a fundamental aspect of Zen practice that is so often overlooked. And that is, when we go flying through life without paying full attention to each moment, we develop concepts. Well, we'll develop the concepts anyway, but we won't be aware that we're living out of them. We're interacting concept to concept, image to image, instead of reality to reality. And that causes all kinds of dysfunction, dissatisfaction, depression, and misunderstanding. So the old Chinese Zen master was correct. Attention really is important in Zen practice. It's important in life. When we don't pay enough attention in the moment to really be in contact with what really is, or at least what is to the degree we can be in contact with what really is, because we still do interact out of concepts so much of the time, we're not interacting truly with another human being or another situation. We're interacting with a series of concepts of what we think that situation is, snap judgments, assumptions based on old history, and in a real sense, we're killing it because we're not being in the truth of the moment. We're being in the ideas and the conditioning and the assumptions of the moment. And it's not really an ideal way to live, quite apart from the fact that it can create untold challenges and unpleasant interactions, so much misunderstanding. To be truly present, is an amazing experience. We experienced it as small children, usually, because small children have not yet developed the habit patterns of not being present. The tiniest children are exploring their universe, tasting it, touching it, rolling around in it, getting to know it intimately without preconceived notions. But of course, as we grow up, we begin to start thinking in concepts. We're trained to do that, really. And it robs us of the incredibleness of the moment as it is. Flora Courtois, the American woman who had a very deep awakening experience when she was a college student back in 1930, 1931, had a number of what she called visions before the actual awakening happened. And in one of them, she was sitting at a desk, a little gray desk in a gray cubicle, in a building full of gray cubicles and other people sitting at gray desks in gray cubicles and manipulating colored blocks. This is a real metaphor for how we live our life in general, unless we are truly present. And one day she turns around, not knowing why she hadn't done that before, and saw there was a great wide open window right behind her. And the view out the window was amazing. As she looked out into it, it was so rich in color, in form. There was a bubbling stream that ran through the landscape. Fields, butterflies, birds. It was alive. And she stepped out through the window and it became even more alive. It was so exciting to be so there in that moment, although that's not what she thought it was. It just, she wasn't thinking at all. She was just experiencing that moment, that she wanted to share it with the others in the building. And as soon as she stepped back into her little gray cubicle, she discovered she had no words with which to express it. No words with which to express it, because when we are truly present with reality, it is beyond words. Of course, if we're interacting, speaking with someone, we're also present with the words. And it's coming, generally speaking, from a clear place. Although if we're furious or working out of concepts, then it's not coming out of a clear place. But when we allow ourselves to be truly present, increasingly so, then life flows. And even if it bumps into a rock, we're able to move around the rock and continue on. There is a Zen saying that water is not impeded, flowing water is not impeded by bamboo. If you've ever seen real bamboo growing, especially these great tall bamboos, they're so thick, it's hard to believe that anything could flow through them. Certainly you can't walk through them. Mosquitoes by the billions are in there, but water does flow through. It finds its way, cracks and crevices around tree trunks and bamboo, and continues flowing. Our mind is like that, truly. But we tend to get stuck. We tend to latch on to one bamboo or another and stagnate and lose the moment just as it is. As we do the Sosokan, we're extending the out-breath, practicing letting go of anything else. And this turns out to be quite a profound practice, because when we are able to let go of everything else and just be present with the physical experience of breathing out, of extending that out-breath, we are becoming more and more able to live in each moment with total presence, without the distraction of all the other things that most people in this day and age get distracted by. It's interesting to encounter a couple of people talking in conversation, but is it real conversation? Or are they just throwing words at each other? You'll find that somebody starts to say something, and the other person, instead of listening fully to what they're saying, is mentally calculating what they'll say in response. And so it becomes rather disjointed, and people come out of the conversation not feeling quite fulfilled, because neither partner was there in the conversation. They were half there, enough so that they could probably give you the gist of what was spoken about, but they were so busy preparing their rebuttals or putting themselves forward instead that the conversation was disjointed, lopsided, and certainly not fully rewarding. People do ask, why is attention so important? We think we're paying attention. And I suppose according to modern standards, we are. But there are some funny videos, for example, of people absorbed in their phone, whether talking on it or texting, as they're walking down the street, that they end up doing stupid things like walking off docks and falling into the water without realizing that they actually were at the end of the dock because they weren't paying attention to where they were walking. When we can live moment by moment totally present, it's a very different, very much more rich, very more grounding, very less stressful life. And so when that Chan master wrote, attention, he was teaching the student something quite fundamental. Coming to awakening involves the profound requirement to be totally present sufficiently that we can see and recognize what's there all the time. And so we sit Zazen in the Zendo, training our minds to let go of extraneous thoughts, training our minds to become totally present, our mind, body, the whole of us, 100% of us, to be totally present. Because that's the only way we can come to awakening, is the only way we can live a truly rich and rewarding life. It means, of course, walking into unpleasant experiences if they present themselves and there aren't any ways around it other than dissociation or avoidance. And even the unpleasant can become a rich experience. And not only that, but we are more able to shift it from feeling like an experience of unpleasantness to a very different way of experiencing it. Because so often the unpleasantness comes as a result of an assumption about the situation, a preconceived notion about the situation. Oh, here comes that person. I really don't want to have to deal with them right now, or ever for that matter. And yet, if we open ourselves fully, without that preconceived notion, and allow ourselves to be truly, truly present with that person in that moment, it's amazing what can happen. It's guaranteed to turn out totally differently than you expect it will. And so often, when a person feels heard, feels respected, which, if you give them your full attention, without sitting back in the back of your mind and making judgments about it, then you are honoring that person. And the interaction will go differently than it would have if you were coming at it out of your conceptions of that person. Life is so much more rich, so much more free when we pay attention. And so, as we sit on our cushion, as we walk kinhin, as we do the work practice, to truly pay attention, to recognize when your mind is wandering, you're washing the dishes and you're just sort of, your hands are washing the dishes, but your mind is somewhere else. You're not really aware of each bubble of soap, of the quality of the wash, whether it's actually getting the dish clean. As you walk around in kinhin, are you truly present? Do you feel the experience of walking around in kinhin? Or is your mind 1,000 miles away, engaged in something else, while your body is moving around in kinhin? As you're eating, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you do it fully, it is so different from going through life half dreaming. This is such an incredibly valuable life. And how amazing it is that we actually could get born and could have the opportunity and the connection to do Zen practice. Who knows when it might or might not ever happen again? To make the best use of it now will make a definite difference in our lives. I thank you for listening. We'll stop now and recite the four vows.